You're listening to WBGO Newark, 88.3 FM. We're online at WBGO.org. And my guest this morning is the incredible Philip Bailey, who was singer, musician, legendary musical group Earth, Wind & Fire, and founder of Music is Unity Foundation. And you founded in 2007. And Philip is speaking with us via Skype, and I'm so delighted that you took the time to us this morning. And we started with Your Everything from your new CD. And I want you to talk about Billy Jack, and it's been your 11th recording as a solo artist, and it's been 17 years. Am I correct?
Yeah.
All right.
So time flies, man.
Does.
Time flies. It's a treat being on here with you. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is a project, a labor of love, action. It took over 2 years to actually do. It was self-funded from start to finish. And then we partnered with Verve. But man, it was one of those kind of projects that you had to, you knew believe in and not really worry about, you know, someone else endorsing it, because it was something that had to happen. And we're just happy that it's out now and it's getting views. So thanks for having me on.
Well, it is a fantastic recording. Love Will Find a Way. And now you talk about how important creating new music is to you, and just how you brought in these great CD musicians. You have Robert Glasper, and you're going to be with Casey Benjamin at the City Winery on the 21st here
right.
in New York with Casey. So talk about it. You also have Chick Corea playing on Your Everything that we started the show with. So just talk about how you brought all of these generations of musicians.
Exactly. Well, you know, I let me take you back just a little bit. Jazz has been my first love since I was a kid, and a young kid, like 9 years old. I was mother's friend's record collection, and actually, she had a friend that was a bass player. Upright bass. And so I was just drawn to jazz at an early age, actually playing drums and singing. And so I played it, you know, with different, you know, trios and jazz trios, organ. That's when back in the Jimmy Smith kind of era.
Yeah.
So I would play drums at some gigs and I would sing at others. For me, it was one of those kind of projects that had to happen. I've dibbled and dabbled in doing like jazz and other projects, you know, and my collaborations with different artists. But I had a relationship with Chick Corea and with Christian McBride, and we just decided. I have a family business, my daughter Trinity, and Tashawn Dawson, who actually A&R'd this project, and my son Philip. But yeah, we just decided to start from Christian and Chick, and then, you know, branch out from there. And you know, I've got some little stories. I don't know how long you have, but Kamasi Washington, and didn't find this out until I went to speak with him about work. Father and I, we played in the same, in the church band, here in Los Angeles and stuff. So I was very surprised to see when he invited his father on stage that it was Ricky Washington's kid.
Legacy.
But of course, Robert Glasper is really, you know, I don't know if you use this term, but kind of like the modern face of jazz, because he's been able to really reinterpret it in a way that has brought in a lot of the grown and sexy, you know, I call them. When I went to his concert and I went to Kamasi's concert, I was very pleasantly surprised to see, you know, a younger demographic of folk who still listen to what I call real music.
Right. Now, you know, I came of age in the 70s, and I just remember, late 60s, 70s. And the thing about that decade was the at least on black radio, you could hear jazz. I could hear Stanley Turrentine, mm-hmm. and Grover, Four Tops, and it was black music. And
That's right.
And it wasn't there was jazz, there was this, but there wasn't an emphasis on genres. It makes me a little crazy sometimes because I think it's just black music, but how do you respond to when people say that your CD is genre bending, or do you call it do you label this new project? I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I just think that it's good music with a lot of great musicians who have roots in hip hop, jazz, R&B. You know, Robert played with Bilal and Maxwell, you know, before right. he went out on his own and stuff, and you know, so it's just it's one of those kinds of things that if you think about, just backing up just a little bit, if you think about the hits that Michael Jackson had, you wouldn't think that a jazz, you know, arranger, conductor, like Quincy Jones would be the producer of that kind of stuff. But like Quincy says, you can't play no music without, you know, dipping into that, you know, that gumbo soup of, you know, jazz, because it's just, you know, just like you can't play any music without dipping into classical. You know, it's just music. But I guess, you know, people have to have a way of labeling things for identification purposes, so I'm not mad at that.
Ron Carter said, we're all trying to play the same 12 notes.
That's right. You know? That's right.
There's so many notes and so much music. So I wanted to also ask you about I kind of think it's kind of amusing when you talk, somebody, I guess, asked you about the 10-year, the hiatus of Earth, Wind & Fire after like 10 years. And you said it depends on how you look at it. When folks start, that usually appears to be more than a hiatus. I thought it was hilarious.
Right. Right. Exactly. People got back together, or whatever, and then, you know, depending on who you're talking to, they like to say, you know, yeah, when we were on hiatus, they say, Negro, right. You don't go in hiatus and sell all your stuff, you know. I kept some of those Bill Whitten uniforms and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, they should have been in the African American museum.
That's right.
Like the mothership.
That's right.
So was it difficult? I mean, did you find yourself being, like, you've done so many solo projects, and you know, you've done, you know, R&B and Christian, etc. Did you have to fight being labeled or typecast for just being one thing?
I never did. I never had to fight, because I think that initially, you know, even from the beginning, when I started doing, you know, the gospel stuff in the 80s, and you know, the solo projects, you know, with Phil Collins and George Duke, and you know, and Nile Rodgers, and it's just, you know, I've always wanted to stay really vibrant and excited about the art, and playing with different people, doing different things that are not just expected, keeps me sharp and keeps me on the edge, you know, where I like to be, you know, doing something different, doing something challenging, and just enjoying the whole process. Enjoying the whole process, you know, music is amazing like that.
Right, and you also, I read where you said music is a spiritual experience for you, and how do you, you know?
For me, music has always been kind of like my spiritual pipe piper. You know, my mother said I was singing before I was talking, and I understand that because my one of my sons, Philip, who was on fire, he was actually singing before he was talking. You know, it's always been kind of like my pipe piper. My mother used to say, you know, where'd you get that song? Could I be singing something? And I go, I hear it. I just thought everybody had this radio going on in their head, you know, because I've always had a radio going on. And yeah, it's one of those kinds of things that it's kept me out of trouble. Be centered. It's made me not go so far this way or that way. It's, you know, it has brought me into a closer communication with, you know, with and man. And it's, you know, given me opportunities I could have never dreamt of. And it's just one of those kinds of things that, you know, that's the way, you know, God has chosen to, you know, to speak. From a small kid.
Were your parents musicians or anyone in your family?
I think at heart, maybe. Uh-huh. You know, neither one of them played. I was raised with a single mom. I met my father later on, who did have an affinity for jazz. Used to tape jazz shows on reel to reel. And listen to them. So I think that you know, at heart, perhaps, you know, and my mother had a very nice voice. I think that, you know, they were musical down in there for sure.
Well, let's talk more about your new recording, Love Will Find a Way. And the song in particular, Stairway to the Stars, actually, it was hard for me to decide which songs we're going to listen to this morning, but I really love that one, and one of my favorites as well. And talk about that song in particular and who musicians are on that.
Well, we were actually in the studio with Robert and his guys, and while we were cutting, you know, Billy Jack and We're Winner, we just said, okay, let's write something. Robert started playing. I was on, you know, percussion, akungas and stuff, and the kalimba. Played this thing down. We played this thing down. And later on, after, you know, after, because I did this in at the same time I was with Earth, Wind & Fire. So it took a little over 2 years. And so I would get away from it because I was touring and go back to it, get away from it. So when we got back to Stairways to the Stars, I actually listened to it and edited it. I told Will I Am to help me with the groove, and so, you know, he magic with, you know, the way he does his stuff. And so basically, once we had it edited, and it actually started with me and Christian McBride and kalimba in the bass. And actually, after we got finished with it, I called Robert Glasper and said, who should I get for trumpet? And he said, Christian Scott. So we called Christian, and he knocked it out. We did it kind of like we're doing here with Skype, because I was on the road doing tour, you know, dates with Earth, Wind & Fire. So he was in the studio. We started that one.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a listen to Stairway to the Stars. He's Philip Bailey. I'm Sheila Anderson, and this is Salon Sessions on WBGO 88.3 FM and WBGO.org. My guest here on Salon Sessions is Philip Bailey, and I'm Sheila Anderson, and we're talking about his new record, We'll Find a Way, and he will be performing at City Winery on the 21st of June.
And that's the day that the actual release of the whole project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Doing it in LA, huh?
That's right. Right. That's right.
Great. That is fantastic. And so I wanted to also talk to you about the recording specifically when you featured, you know, you Curtis Mayfield, and who he's still missed to this day. What was it about Curtis that you felt compelled to record these songs?
When I was a kid, I had this group with these three brothers, with myself and two other brothers, and we were called the Soul Brothers. Very original.
Right, exactly.
And we were like in junior high school and high school, and we used to sing at Battle of Quartets. And the songs that we used to sing were songs by the Impressions.
Mm.
And we actually won several of those contests singing the Impression song. So Curtis, his music goes way back with me. And then in the late 60s, when he started doing solo stuff and Superfly and all that stuff, I was a huge fan and of his writing, you know, social activism and just, you know, of course, you know, with having that falsetto, I could sing all that stuff. And we chose those songs because they helped people through the turbulent 60s. And, you know, in the last few years, we've experienced, you know, has come to the fore. It's not like it actually went anything, but it's actually raised its ugly head again. And so those songs were songs that we chose for times such as this.
Yeah, and I love that you also recorded Long As You're Living. And
I'm a huge fan of Abby Lincoln.
Oh, me too. I can't get. I can tell you some of Abby's, so like Throw It Away and certain songs got me through.
Oh, wow.
Time.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like the lyrics, you know, it's like the perfect lyrics, the life lyrics. So the lyrics are just amazing. And then she's such a story. In the way that she sang and what she heard, it's just amazing. And I kind of think that that she's a bit underexposed.
Oh,
I think,
absolutely.
You know, like when Sting did that song, you know, her song, and it became huge, you know, very few people knew it. I didn't even know the song came out, but that was an Abby Lincoln song.
I don't remember what song that was. The one he did?
Which one did he do? It's an Abby Lincoln song.
Okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm. I'll find out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, you know, she was a storyteller, and she was also an actor, and she acted her story in her song. If you ever saw her perform live, and as far as social activist, Max, you know, had the, you know,
right.
Did that incredible suite, you know, in the 60s. And, You know, and so speaking of activism, I want you to tell us about Music is Unity Foundation and why and what it is that, that the foundation does.
Well, I'm a father of seven and a grandfather of seven. And so experiencing, you know, the Bailey Nation and understanding the support that they need at all ages, it's just unthinkable that there would be such a large population of young people who, by no fault of their, a lot of different other circumstances, they would find themselves just in this world without any support system, and their things being given to them in paper bags because they've aged out of the system and the government is no longer paying whoever was caretaking them. And they fall between the cracks, they go to jail, they get into all kind of different stuff, just surviving, living under bridges, the whole thing, you know. And so I had several of those activists that were, you know, emancipated foster care youth over to the house to share some of their stories with us. And man, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. So what we do is a portion of our proceeds, ticket proceeds, go to Music is Unity. And we fund organizations that are helping foster care youth, emancipated meaning young folk who are aging out of the foster system, and they're no longer getting funds from the government, so they're just out.
So what you're telling me, a person turns 18,
mm-hmm.
and then they have to leave the foster home. They're just literally out in the street.
Yes, like, and many really. Times. These stories were consistent. I checked it out. And stuff, not in a bag, not in a suitcase, sometime in paper bags.
What?
Brown paper bags and put out.
I can't. I never knew that. I don't. Wow.
That's the reason why we chose this cause, because just like you said, you never knew that. And I don't think a whole lot of people ever knew, don't know that that's going on, you know, in America and then all over the world. It's sad.
Well, so does your foundation give housing funds?
Well, we fund organizations who are doing that. We've Oakland, we visited different houses that were particularly for, you know, aged out foster families and people. And so we get funds and we'll give, you know, proceeds to different organizations who are doing the daily work. And we also do a thing we call, real quick, the Winifier, we call the Backstage Soundcheck Program, and we invite youth who are interested in the music industry to come down, and we introduce them to all the different facets of our touring organization, in hopes that if they have any aspirations in the music industry, that, you know, it could be a bridge in some kind of way.
Wow, that's incredible! Wow, I really we want to cry knowing this. It's just terrible.
Well, if you hadn't been with us and hear the stories, you would. There wasn't a dry eye in the place, and it was really it was very opportune for several of my children to have been there and hear some of the stories.
Yeah Wow. Oh my. Well, okay.
But my daughter Trinity is the co-founder with me in this, in Music is Unity.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. great. Keep it in the family. That's right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to listen to Long As You're Living, Philip Bailey's new CD. He's my guest this morning. Love Will Find a Way. And we're going to take a listen to his rendition of that incredible song. And I'm Sheila
Christian
Anderson.
McBride. Christian McBride on that Fierce Bass.
All right. Yes, we love Christian. He also hosts Jazz Night in America here on WBGO.
Oh, yeah. And Kenny Barron.
My man.
Yeah.
Fellow, they're both Geminis like me, so I love them even more. It's Philip Bailey, As Long As You're Living. This is WBGO Newark, 88.3 FM and WBGO.org.
Forgive me if I seem to preach, but there is something that I want to say. A message that I hope will reach people who are throwing life away. I call it my philosophy. That is why I pass it on to you. Because it works so well for me. It helps me get away from stress. I hope you listen carefully. I say the truth will make you free. And that's the way you want to be.
You're listening to Salon Sessions on WBG 3FM and WBGO.org. Long As You're Living from Philip Bailey's new release, Love Will Find a Way, and he has joined me this morning to talk about that and other things. And also, Philip is going to be at on the 21st of June, and that is the release, official release of the new CD. So, Philip, the let's talk about, again, we mentioned it, the song. And I have to be honest, I don't remember that song. It's very African-tinged, and, you know, it kicks off the recording. Tell us your approach to the song. And again, I don't know it. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, but you would not know it, because we, Robert, sent that template over when we were saying as a treatment. And so we took that, you know, that West African groove, and just totally flipped that song, because Curtis Mayfield's version of it, almost a mid-tempo or a slow, or a, it's very slow. And, you know, we took the story and we actually did keep the melody, you know, but other than that, it's a different take on it.
Yeah. So who's going to, other than Casey Benjamin, who's going to be with you at the City Winery?
Well, our secret weapon, we call him Herman Jackson, who's a veteran in the industry. He's my MD, and he actually co-produced and arranged all the horns and strings on Love Will Find a Way CD. So he's my MD, so he's there, and then Casey's there. Oh, and Michael Severson, too, who played on the record, he's also with us.
Right. Is that Doc's son?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
He's that. A guitar player.
Ah.
But we also, yeah. Uh-huh. Nice. Keon, what's Keon's last name?
Harold?
He's a fierce trumpet player.
Harold. Keon Harold?
Yeah, Keon Harold, yeah. You know, we met him over in Europe when we were over there 2 years ago now, at the North Sea Jazz Festival.
Nice. Wow, I'm excited that you're going to be performing here in New York City. Is that right? You're gonna have to come back. You have to keep coming back.
Then I go back to my day gig. I call Earth, Wind & Fire my day gig. And
right.
My solo stuff, my night gig.
Right. I understand. But actually, before we do close, how did you come to join Earth, Wind & Fire? Because I don't remember that
story. Yeah. Well, I'll try to give you the quick and fast. A guy by Jones, who actually was pretty instrumental in Prince's discovery too. He was in Denver. He lived in Denver, and he was a mentor of ours. Worked in radio, and he became the first promotion man for Warner Brothers in Los Angeles. Maurice and the band had just moved to Los Angeles, and they were signed to Warner Brothers. Perry actually brought home a album of Earth, Wind, and Fire, that first album, Need of Love, and let us hear it. We didn't, with no picture on it, just a white label.
Right, right.
We had, you know, what they even looked like or whatever, but we were drawn to the music, and we started playing, you know, the Need of Love and several songs on there. Anyway, when he used to promotion man for Warner Brothers, when they went on the tour, they came through Denver. He brought them through different Denver intentionally. And he had our band, the band that I was in, Larry Dunn was in, to play, to open the show. And that's how we met. Moving forward, I moved out to Los Angeles with Perry that following year. Maurice's band all split up and left just with him and his brother left. They asked me to be in the band. After Verdi saw me play in the club. So that's the short and long of it.
Wow. And all these years later, they're still together.
Well, we always said, when they came and asked me, I said, on one condition. They said, what? I said, I want to be in the best band in the whole world.
Okay.
And they each other and they said, you're in.
All right. Well, this is fantastic. And again, my guest this morning is Philip Bailey. We're talking about his new CD, Love Will Find a Way, and his CD release. The party will be at the City Winery on the 21st of June, and we are going to close out with Billy Jack and let everybody hear that, and of course entice them. I know it's going to be a great night. It's going to be.
I'm looking forward to it.
And it's a wonderful CD, and I want to thank you for giving us your time and to sharing you with us. So thank you very much, Philip Bailey.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'll see everybody that's listening out on the 21st.
Yes, yes. All right. Have a good morning. Peace, love.
Peace and love. God bless.
Thank you.